don't be surprised if it didn't look quite like the way you thought it was going to. You know, sometimes our shopping list for God looks more like a shopping list for Santa. I'd like this, please. I want that, please. Then I want that and that. If you don't get that, get that. It's not really the way God works, is it? Because he's not just interested in your stuff, he's interested in you. Take a seat, open your Bibles, should you have one, to Acts 3, 1 to 16. That's why I like an old school Bible, you see. If you're staring into your phones, I don't know whether you're updating your Facebook status or having a flick through Instagram or something like that. With your Bible, the real old school Bible, there's no hiding, is there? I don't know about you. Do you like surprises? Do you like surprises? I don't like surprises. I must admit, I don't even like nice surprises particularly. For the simple reason, I like to anticipate stuff, to know it's coming. Do you know what I mean? Anybody else like that? Put your hand up. I like the thrill of expectation, of anticipation, to know something good is coming. You know, some people, they like, you know, surprise birthday party, you know, stuff like that. For me, I've always said to my wife, don't do a surprise birthday party for me, please. You know, I don't want to do that whole thing. Like, oh, why are you taking us to the LTC on a dark night? And you come through, lights go, oh, everybody's there, you know. Nobody, people there I haven't seen for 20 years or whatever, you know. And if I'm going to have like a nice event, I like to anticipate it, yeah? Anybody else like that? But sometimes just because we don't like them doesn't mean we don't need them. And God is the master, isn't he, of surprises and loves to confound our expectations. It's good to be in faith and expectation for things, but how many of you know, even though you're in faith for something, doesn't always come wrapped up the way we thought it was going to? It can be very different, can't it? I'm going to read for you Acts 3, 1 to 16. This is Peter and John's interaction with a man who was lame, and he'd been lame for many years. It doesn't say it in this bit, but in the next chapter it says he'd been lame for 40 years, four decades of lameness. So he was used to being in that state, in that sort of environment. I'll read it for you. It says this: Peter and John went up together to the temple at the hour of prayer, the ninth hour, which was in fact 3 p.m. That's when the time was. That's the time for prayer. A certain man, lame from his mother's womb, was carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms from those who entered the temple. Alms like sort of money for the poor, food for the poor, whatever. Who, seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, asked for alms. Fixing his eyes on him with John, Peter said, "Look at us." So he gave them his attention, expecting to receive something from them. Peter said, "Silver and gold I don't have, but what I do have I give you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk." And he took him by the right hand, lifted him up, and immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength. So he, leaping up, stood and walked and entered the temple with them, walking, leaping, and praising God. And all the people saw him walking and praising God. Then they knew it was he who sat begging alms at the beautiful gate of the temple. And they were filled with wonder and amazement at what had happened. Now as the lame man who was healed held on to Peter and John, all the people ran together to them in the porch, which is called Solomon's, greatly amazed. And when Peter saw it, he responded to the people. He said, "Men of Israel, why do you marvel at this? Or why look so intently at us, as though by our own power or godliness we made this man walk? The God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the God of our fathers, glorified his servant Jesus, whom you delivered up and denied in the presence of Pilate when he was determined to let him go." So what is Peter doing there? He's using it, isn't he, as an opportunity to preach the gospel. That miracle opens the door in a most dramatic way. And it wasn't what anybody was expecting. I remember when I bought my first ever flat. How many of you know when you look at the estate agent's particulars and the photos, and then when you actually go and see the property, it looks nothing like it? I remember, like most people, when they're selling a property, you know, they make it look at least reasonably tidy when you have a look round. I remember vividly going round to look at the first flat I was going to buy. So you knock on the door, knock, 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 and walk through into the hallway. And the first thing that hit me was the smell of the property. It just stank. They had like scuzzy carpet, scuzzy, horrible carpet. And when the bathroom was the immediate right of the front door. And the bathroom wasn't big, but the thing is, when I opened the door, I couldn't get the door completely open. The reason being that as I inch myself into the bathroom, there's a massive stack of dirty laundry piled almost up to like the height of my chest between the door and the basin. So you barely get in. Bath didn't look like it had been cleaned since about 1976. And they painted the walls sort of orange. Orange in a bathroom, not the conventional colour, but the ceiling they had painted sort of sky blue, you know, so that was very odd. So you go into the kitchen as well, and I don't know about you, if you've ever done decorating, I hate gloss paint. Have you ever painted with gloss paint? It's such a nuisance, it's all sticky, and, you know, when you get on the brushes, you need to clean it with white spirit. Largely, they don't really sell it so much these days, do they? But at the very least, you use it for your wooden sort of sills and window frames and stuff like that, but nothing else. But anyway, went into the kitchen, turned the light on, and the light bounced off the walls at me because they had literally like glossed all the walls of the entire kitchen. I don't know how they'd done it with a roller or what. It must have been such a horrible job. And then I moved on to the living room, and mostly you would expect them to tidy up. And I kid you not, but as I opened the door into the living room, whoever had been living there before had left a load of like porn mags all over the like living room floor, like open. And the estate agent said, sorry, I didn't know, you thought he would have cleaned up. Don't worry, I'm buying the property, not the magazines, all the fixtures and fittings. But they'd let it, and you know, like at school where they give you like a sort of foam, bit of foam rubber, and you dip it in the paint, and then you sort of do on a bit of paper like that. They'd done this, but on the wallpaper to sort of give it, I don't know, I can't even provide an explanation for why they'd got bored one day, and they put it like all around there. But where the pictures were, that they hadn't taken the pictures off. They just literally like done it around the picture. You took the pictures off the wall. You've got a perfect kind of rectangle there that's free of these things. But nonetheless, I decided to buy the flat. Because even though it was a weird looking thing, I realized it was an answer to prayer. So sometimes it's the thing that surprises you that is still an answer from God for your life. It's not what I was expecting, but it's what I needed. You know, and how many of you know, you buy your first property, you know, get a bit of equity out, buy the next one. It provides a stepping stone to get other things. But it's very easy, isn't it, just to look at the thing. Oh, that's not quite what I was expecting. I don't think I'll have that. Thank you very much. And had I not got that, who knows where else I would have got. But that was the right place for me. And despite all the clear-up job, it was a blessing, and it was the will of God for me to move in to that place. I think with this interaction that we had, you know, Peter and John were very different characters, weren't they? Very different. You know, sometimes we think, I'd really like a friend who's just like me. You know, what are we saying there? We're saying, really, we'd like a mirror for our person. You know, mutual admiration. Yes, great idea. Absolutely. Where did you get that idea from? We're looking for people who are like us. But very often God puts us together with people who are not like us. Because there are things that we don't know that we don't know that they make up for. And Peter and John are very, very different characters, aren't they? I mean, you see it, the tomb of Jesus on Resurrection Day. You know, John gets there, but he doesn't go in. Yet he believed what was going on. Peter, impetuous as ever, goes there, goes into the tomb, but he still doesn't believe. He still doesn't believe. They're very different characters, aren't they? Peter's a real sort of rash character, rushing to judgment, rushing straight in, but very impetuous, you know, forgets what Jesus had said. You know, sometimes with the disciples, you almost want to hit them over the head and say, do you not remember anything? Did nothing penetrate your skull about what was going to happen to me, that there was going to be a death and a resurrection and all the rest of it? We can forget what happens. So you get this pair, Peter and John, and what are they doing? They are going up to the temple at the ninth hour for prayer. They're not really looking to do a miracle particularly. You know, they're doing the same old thing. The church has just been launched. Power of God is upon them, but they're still doing the old way of doing things, going to the temple at the ninth hour for prayer. There's nothing inherently bad about it, but it's the thing they'd always done, the thing they were always expecting to do, prayer. Similarly, lame man, what's he doing? Both parties involved in this scenario are heading to a rendezvous with expectation. Peter and John expecting to go to the temple in the same old way to pray. Lame man being carried to the gate in the same old way he'd always been done, expecting to beg for alms, for food, for money. In their own way, they're heading to their expected positions. And God is the master disruptor, isn't he? He loves to disrupt the best laid plans, to get the carpet and just give it a shake and say, I've got something else for you both, something different. And I wonder, it's speculation, I know it's not necessarily there in the text, but I suspect Peter was on his way saying, right, come on, we've got to get there to the temple, we've got to get there for prayer the same way we'd always done. And I think Peter needed John's perspective. Because you could say, well, what was John there for? Was he just there for company, make up numbers or whatever? But I think he was there to provide perspectives, to say, Peter, look, there's somebody here who needs our attention. It is perhaps other than what we thought today. God has the audacity, doesn't he, to show up in his own house sometimes, and show up in a different way from what we always expected and what we thought was going to happen. It may not always be what we expected, but it's what we need. It is what we need. Said Acts 4:22, it says the man was 40. When you get to 40, I'm 44, I know I look younger, but I am in my that decade. And they say by 40, you know, pretty much, you know, you got things worked out and set, haven't you? They do say as you get older, you get more cynical. You shouldn't get more cynical, but it's human nature sometimes, isn't it, to get set in your ways. If you'd been lame all your life, how tempting it would be. You know what? If God was going to show up for me, I think he'd have done it by now. You know, if it's going to happen, it would have happened by 40. You know, too old, too late. You know, he was so ingrained in a pattern of behavior. You know, God was about to give him that thing he'd probably given up upon. That's true, isn't it? Equally, Peter is a surprising person, but he's not surprisable, is he, particularly? He was shocked Jesus went to the cross and died there. You know, you almost want to say, Peter, what did you expect? You know, you spent 3 years with, you know, the Lord, your Lord and Savior, and still it didn't click. You know, he's on the Mount of Transfiguration with Jesus, and Jesus is talking with Moses and Elijah. And what does Peter say? So hang on a minute, I've got a great idea. I'm going to build a shelter for you. I'm going to build a shelter for Moses. I'm going to build a shelter for Elijah. It will be lovely, won't it? How many of you know there are often people, aren't there, who have no idea of the challenges being faced, coming up with a solution. You know, if Peter had had his way, Jesus wouldn't have come down off the mountain and fulfilled his destiny. You know, Peter was looking to, let's all stay here. It's lovely here, isn't it? In the sunshine and in the glow of God's glory. So Peter, he was a surprising character, but he struggled with surprises. And Jesus was utterly stable. You know, it says, doesn't it, God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. But he specialized in surprises. You know, you can tell a lot, can't you, about someone's assumptions by what they're surprised by. You know, when Jesus is with the woman at the well, and the disciples, it said, were surprised to find him talking to her. It's almost like, what's he doing there? That's unusual. I didn't expect that. You can tell a lot about somebody's assumptions, can't you? Their prejudices, the things they think are going to happen. You know, when you're surprised by Jesus, it tells you a lot about what you assumed in the first place. You know, sometimes we can be surprised that God is good. You know, I had a friend, and he went to an encounter one time, and he was a bit of a lad, and he'd had quite a sort of past, you know, with lots of young ladies, stuff like that. And anyway, he's at the front, and the power of God hits him, and he thinks any moment now all my sins are going to be laid bare. The prophet's going to come on, and so I see you with all these women, and I thought, oh no, it's going to be terrible. I'm going to get torn to shreds by God. You know, and sometimes when we step into the Lord, before we know better, we think God is going to come for us and he's going to tear us to shreds. And sometimes we're surprised, aren't we, by God being good, by being merciful. You know, blessing us for something. You know, I never thought, God, you do. I can't believe it. It's unbelievable. You know, we can be surprised by the things of the Lord that he wants to get us. You know, neither party in this scenario is expecting a miracle. Peter and John, they were expecting prayer. The lame man, he was expecting money. Would have been perfectly happy with money, to be honest. That will get him by. That will get him by. And, you know, pretty much that's all right by me. You know, he went for his expectation and was perfectly happy if that's the thing that he was met by. You know something else? God can change your story in an instant. He'd been 40 years like that, and God suddenly snaps on the light. We know that because verse 7 said this. He said, he, that's Peter, took him, as the lame man, by the right hand and lifted him up. And 2 weeks later, his feet and ankle bones received strength. After rubbing some cream into his legs, eventually he managed to toddle a couple of steps. After popping to see the doctor and getting some tablets, then eventually things were a little better than how they were. No, immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength. You know, you don't know your own strength very often because you've always stopped at your weakness. You know, sometimes you can be surprised by strength. You know, Victor, my son, he sometimes likes to play fight in the kitchen. And you think, oh, he's only a little boy, this will be all right. But at five, surprising how much strength he gets. You can be bowled over by the strength you didn't expect. It creeps up on them, you know. And God is most strategic at that moment of surprise. He knows what he's doing. You know, we often want God to change stuff for us. We say, God, change my stuff. And God says, I'm going to change you in ways you never expected, you never thought or imagined. The lame man came for stuff, didn't he? Just enough stuff to get me through the day. But God said, look, I'm going to change you. What does it say? Verse 8, he was walking, he was leaping, and he was praising God. It was so irreligious, wasn't it, of somebody like that? So irreligious, disrupting all the calm of the temple. Why was he thankful? Because he got an incredible surprise from the Lord. You know, did it say all the others who went for their rendezvous with prayer at the ninth hour, were they leaping and praising? Thank you, God. Thank you, God. The only one who didn't expect something is the praiser. You know, everyone else got what they expected and didn't praise. You know, he could walk, finally. He could walk, that thing that he'd always wanted. And God's very strategic, isn't he? He doesn't just use a surprise for the sake of it, but he uses it to do something so, so powerful. You know, what happens with Peter and John? It's like, you know, suddenly people are getting saved left, right and centre, and then they're banged up and arrested and they're detained. But even that doesn't matter because the gospel is still sort of going. This is very, very early in the history of the church, but they cannot be constrained. God uses it strategically to start a revival in Jerusalem, doesn't he? You know, what have the other people done? They'd exchanged appreciation for expectation. You know, sometimes, you know, maybe in the dim and distant past, they've been very happy. Oh, thank you. Yes, lovely to come to prayer. But somewhere along the line, it had become routine. Somewhere on the line, they just got sort of, you know, it's just part of the daily pattern. It's just what we do. And yet it was the person who didn't expect something who was the most grateful, the most grateful. I remember when we first started to come to Harvest Church, we couldn't drive. So when we lived down in Westminster, we used to take the tube. And we moved over to Muswell Hill. It was two buses. So even at like the far, even if all the buses were like aligned and, you know, just came at the right time, like bare minimum of an hour to travel, at least. You had to allow like an hour and a half to be totally sure. You had to get the bus to Golders Green, another one, hop on the bus at Golders Green, grind through North Circular all the way sort of here. So it'd take you like bare minimum of an hour, even if everything was lined up and it would be okay. And then we got a car and we thought, wow, what a revelation. It's so quick. We can be there in 20 minutes. Unbelievable. You know, the first few times you do it, I say, thank you, God, for providing my car. It's lovely. Really, really nice. And then after a while, you get used to it, don't you? You don't think, I don't wake up now and say, thank you, God, for my car. It's just an expectation that, you know, we'd flick the key in the ignition, we'll get there, no problem, job done. But if you don't have it, you're grateful for it when you receive it. May we never exchange, never exchange appreciation for expectation. The only one who didn't expect something is the praiser. You know, don't be surprised if it didn't look quite like the way you thought it was going to. You know, sometimes our shopping list for God looks more like a shopping list for Santa. I'd like this, please. I want that, please. And then I want that and that. If you don't get that, get that. It's not really the way God works, is it? Because he's not just interested in your stuff, he's interested in you. May we never never, never stop being surprised by God. And I don't mean don't be in faith. I don't mean don't be in faith and expectation. That's great. And we should be. And God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. But, you know, God has a way of answering things very, very profoundly in just the right way. You know, God's put people around me in my life that I didn't expect. And sometimes our best laid plans are not always the God laid plans. And God says, look, I have something for you. It's differently wrapped. If you know, you were a little kid with a present round the tree, you'd be like grasping it and you think, oh, this is a bit of a weird shape. I was expecting something more box shaped. But God said, you know what? I've got it just for you. How easy it would have been for Peter and John just to think, oh, it's the same old lame man. He's been there for years and years. If God was going to heal him, he would have done it by now. But they paused and looked with fresh eyes and thought, money we don't have, but in the name of Jesus Christ, get up and walk. God had a date with destiny for both parties in that scenario. They weren't expecting to give the miracle. A lame man was not expecting to receive one. And we stand in his presence. Lord, we say that we love you today. God, we thank you that your ways are not our ways. And we don't always expect things. Who would have expected 3 years ago if you'd knocked on our door and said, very shortly, church is going to be shut, going to have to do everything online. You think, what on earth is that? And yet we're still here. God has prospered us. God has ministered through that time. It wasn't what we expected, but it's what happened. And Father, we thank you, Lord, that you place people in our lives that aren't always the people that we expected. They aren't always on the shopping list of Christianity that we drew up when we were first saved. But God, we thank you that your ways are not our ways, that your judgment is better than our judgment and our discernment. Father, we thank you for Peter and John, that they saw the same scenario they'd seen many times, but through different eyes. And Father, we pray in every area of our life, Father God, we would always look with divine perspective and never just think, oh, that's always the way it's been. So it'll carry on something like that. Help us always, Father God, to come to scenarios with your eyes, with your perspective of a miracle, in your mighty name.
Amen.
Father, just while every eye is closed in this place, I don't know if this applies to you, but we always give anybody an opportunity to respond, not just come for what they came for, come for what they were expecting. Nice sermon, Vicar, thank you very much. But give a real opportunity to engage with you, the Lord and Saviour. And just whilst every eye is closed, if you've come here and you've never accepted Christ into your life, do you want to just between me and God and you, won't be anybody else looking at you, but put your hand up now if you want to make that commitment. You want to ask Jesus into your life, and we will pray together that prayer of reaffirmation for some of us, that prayer that's been prayed for the first time for others. Why don't we pray together? Lord Jesus Christ, I thank you that you are the Lord of surprises. And I thank you that you confounded the world. You confounded the enemy. And you confounded every expectation. By dying on the cross and by rising again. And Lord Jesus, I pray for your forgiveness.
I pray for your forgiveness.
For everything I've done wrong.
For everything that I've done wrong.
And I ask you into my life.
And I ask you into my life.
To be my Lord and Savior.
To be my Lord and Savior.
From this day.
From this day.
Forevermore.
Forevermore.
In your mighty and powerful name.
And powerful name.
Amen and amen.
Amen.
God bless you. Thank you.
Amen. Amen.